Welcome to Podnix Daily, episode number 352, the show where computer repair techs come on the show and talk about what they're doing in their businesses, on their jobs, any tech tips they have, anything that can help a fellow technician. That's kind of what we strive for here. And this week, we have no stranger to the show again, Jeff Hallisch from TechNutPC.com. I usually love talking to Jeff. He usually brings the goods. I called him on short notice this time, but I'm sure he's probably got some stuff to talk about with you guys. Anyway, how's it going, Jeff?
It's going really good.
So what's new with you?
Well, let's see. We'll start off with I moved from St. Clair Shores to Canton, Michigan about a year ago, back in November.
How far of a trip is that?
It's about an hour. So it's about an hour difference. I moved back to this area for to get closer to my work. I work for Ford Motor Company during the evenings now, but that would be considered my day job.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I wanted to buy a Ford. I really did because I loved my Ford Escape, but mm-hmm. Chevy was the only. I actually bought a used car on a Chevy dealership, and they gave me a loan. So I figured I'm playing it safe with them. They gave me money. I actually bought a Chevy, a Cruze. I'm sorry.
I know. I'm very careful when I say this, but yeah, at least it was American.
Yeah, I'm kind of liking it. So you moved to get closer to work.
Yep.
That's cool. I mean, you just moved. How long ago?
Back in November.
Ah, that's not too bad.
Oh yeah,
not too bad. I just moved last week. Oh my! Don't you hate moving?
Yes, I will never do it again. This is my last time moving. I'm going to live in this house for the next 50 years. So
really?
Oh yeah.
Oh, good for you.
I'm settled.
So how did this affect your computer repair business?
Well, I didn't do anything for the first few months. Obviously, after you move, it takes some time to, get yourself situated in your house, get things where you need them and stuff like that. So basically, I didn't really start advertising until probably March of this year. And I was using Google AdWords. I have my AdWords account to where I've made some adjustments on it over the last couple years, and I understand it a little bit better. And one of the things I had to do, though, is I had to move my bids up just a little bit. Now, I live in a huge metro area. There's a lot of computer shops in the area, a lot of local mom and pop shops that have been here for a while, 20 plus years. But as far as the advertising, I'm looking for more the local, within a 5 mile radius business, because I really don't want to travel farther than that personally. I don't really have the time right now, and I don't mind doing residential stuff. I would rather people bring their computers to me, have me fix them, get them back to them. And usually when I fix a computer, I don't see those people for usually another year, until they have another computer or something happens with that one again. So
yeah, I mean, if you're doing this as a part-time thing, you're not going to see customers probably that much, and the volume is obviously not going to be as much as somebody doing full-time. But I was telling you before the show, the way you have it set up now is exactly how I was doing it when I first started out, and I did too. I loved when people gave me their machines. I brought them home, and I worked on them at my leisure and comfort,
Yep.
it's much more – that's what actually led me to get a shop, because it was so fun to – you had so much more control when you had the computer, and you weren't like crawling under cobweb infested desks. But that's the way you got to start out. So you're doing AdWords again, starting that up.
Yep. Yeah, I started AdWords up. Like I said, I've gotten mine down to where I'm not spending more than maybe $30-$40. And my bids are
month?
Up to yeah, a month.
Cool.
And my bids are up to, $3.57 is I think what I moved them up to. Sorry about that. And my phone.
It's not an iPhone, I hope.
No. Are you kidding me? I know I need to get started with Macs, but I'm holding out.
Is it an Android?
Yeah, I got the same phone you had, the HTC Evo.
Oh,
so I don't know if you've got that anymore. Or
I just this couple days ago I got rid of that.
Okay,
And I missed it so much. I actually returned two phones I got after the Evo because they weren't I missed my Evo so much, I wanted something with the same Evo functionality with those buttons and everything. And right. I ended up getting a Galaxy S2 Skyrocket from AT&T. That's the closest thing to an Evo I can find. But yeah, it's a great phone. Great phone.
Yeah, my parents got, I bought my parents the brand new HTC, you know, Evo 4G LTE or whatever, you know. And there's a lot of things I didn't like about it. I really like my Evo, you know, like the menu button was a big one, but.
Totally.
You know, and so.
Menu button, search button, home button. Oh, man. Because I got the Galaxy Note, which I thought I wanted for a whole year. I thought every day I wanted that. I was wrong because it's just too big.
Okay.
And so I downsized the Galaxy S3. And like that's more like the new HTC Evo 1 or whatever they call it, Evo 4G for LTE. Anyway, yeah, that was just, it didn't have the, I couldn't zoom around on it like I could on the Evo. The Evo is such a fast phone to use. So.
Wish I had a better processor, but you know,
we'll
figure something out. My contract's up, so I'm ready for a new phone, but I'm holding out right now. So
check out the Galaxy S2. I got it. Best Buy price matched me, $49, because that's Walmart's price. So Best Buy price matched that, and I love it so far. It's the closest thing to an Evo you're going to get with LTE.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would check that out.
All right. That was a tangent, but that was fun. What were we talking about? AdWords.
So anyways, on my advertising. So my advertising, I had to move up to $3.57 from, I think I was at $2.47 or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyways, but that was started ranking me where I was, you know, depending on, like, for terms like computer repair, it would bump me up to, you know, first place, second place, third place, somewhere on the advertising. So. And a lot of the, you know, the clicks I'm getting are actually people that are calling. Maybe I'm not getting their business, but they're actually calling, and it's more relevant to, you know, what they're looking for as far as computer repair. It's not just random, hey, I'm advertising on, you know, I don't know, whatever different sites and stuff are out there. So so that's fine, but it takes about a good – I remember last time when I started up, it takes about a year, I think, to actually start getting business in, and then you start getting repeat business after that. I'll talk about, I want to do some word of mouth here, you know, in the future, because I think that's where businesses, I think that's where you get most of your business, really, is word of mouth, you know, just talking to people, networking, stuff like that, so.
Yeah, well, like you said, about a year, because that's when about word of mouth really starts spreading, and I've had periods during my shop after a couple years where I just turned my ads off, my AdWords off, for whatever reason, and thinking I was just going to change the ad or something like that, but then I kept getting business, so I didn't turn them on for a while, and I know a couple other people, I think Chris might have told me, maybe somebody else told me that they turn their ads off and their business still keeps rolling in.
Right.
You got to be careful, though, because you're not going to get as many new people from the, because the ads bring in new people, but you still get the word of mouth, and if the word of mouth is enough for you, you're good. But yeah, word of mouth is key. It really is.
I think if you're spending between $30 and $60 a month for AdWords, I don't think that's too unreasonable, because I think you're going to get enough of business eventually. I think a lot of people cut it short because they're like, oh, I don't want to spend this money. I'm not getting any clicks on it, or I'm getting clicks, but I'm, you know, it's costing me a lot of money, but I'm not getting any phone calls. And it's like, well, everything takes time, and sometimes you just got to ride things out, but you're going to have to, you know, put some sort of money into some sort of advertising. You know, it's not just, you know, I mean, yeah, obviously you don't want to do things that absolutely don't work, like the Yellow Pages or something like that, you know. And not everybody searches for computer repair online. But being the summertime, too, I think one of the things I've run into is it seems to me that people are just waiting until their computers basically die before they bring it to somebody. And then they want you to resurrect this machine that's, you know, it's dead, but it's 5 years old. And you're like, by the time I charge you and replace, you know, whatever needs to be replaced, you could probably buy a new computer, you know, especially being 5 years old. But, you know, I've had, you know, the customer's right, and whatever they want, they want. And I've had people that have, you know, they've had me replace motherboards, and it's cost them, you know, they might have spent $300 on a computer. I replaced a motherboard or a screen, and it cost them $200 or $300. You know, by the time everything was done, they just liked their machine. Some people are sentimental like that.
Yeah, it's true. It's amazing. Somebody will bring something in, and you go, oh, God, you could definitely get a new one. And you see it in their face. They go, well, no, why don't you just fix this one? You know, they really have sentimental value.
And I'm fine with that. You know, if people want me to fix it, I definitely will fix it. And, you know, that's not a problem. I don't want to ever, you know, I don't want to ever be one of those people that say, you know, well, yeah, we can fix it, and, you know, without giving them options. At least I don't want to give them the options to, hey, we could replace this thing, move your data over, I could still make some money, you know, whatever. But some people are like, no, I just want that one. So.
That's true. You know, I kind of looked at it like how I would, if it was my computer, what would I do? You know what I mean?
Right.
I would want a new one. But you're so you have that mindset, like they would think the same thing. A lot of times you're right. They don't. Yep. It was really surprising.
Yeah, but, exactly.
And you know what? I ran into too back then, this is like 2008. When somebody brought in a laptop and I said, you really could get a new one. They're like, no, I'm not going to spend $1,000 on a laptop. And at that point, you know, laptops were like down like $400. But when they bought their original laptop 5 years before that, that's how much laptops were. They were $1,000. So that's the number they have in their mind. And they don't believe that there's cheaper machines out there.
Right. So, yeah, you try to educate them, but, you know, you do what they, you know, what they want you to do. So,
yeah, totally.
The other thing I started doing is I started thinking about Google AdWords, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. How many people have Internet Explorer installed on their, you know, their computer they bought from Best Buy or Dell or wherever, and they're using Bing as their search? And I'm like going, I wonder how many customers I'm missing by just using probably not everybody knows to search on Google, even though we would think Google is mainstream, which they are. But there's a lot of people that just leave their generic, you know, Internet Explorer installed and don't use Firefox or Google Chrome or anything like that.
Good point.
So I started last week or 2 weeks ago, I started advertising on Bing. And it's set up the same way as AdWords. You can you could import your Google AdWords if you want to. I didn't. I just started fresh and used their suggestion for their words. And I kind of cut the keywords down.
Sure.
I still probably have about 300 keywords in Google AdWords, and I've slowly been cutting some of those out.
Yeah.
Because they don't do anything.
Right. They might get clicks, but you're not going to get sales off of
right.
them.
Right. Or they just sit there dead and basically don't do anything.
Right.
So I started doing that. Now, of course, you know, everybody freaks out, and I know this happens because it happened with Google AdWords. When you start up, for some reason, I mean, I got like within the first day, with the keywords I was using, I had 4,000 impressions, which is how many times the ad was shown.
Right.
And out of that, you know, I had like 13 clicks. So it cost me a lot of money day one, and I didn't get one phone call off any of those.
Well, how much did you set your maximum bid at?
At the time, I did $2.57 or something like that.
Okay.
$2 and something. And some, you know, some clicks were only like 84 cents mm-hmm. or 64 cents or $1.31. Not all of them were at $2.57. So it cost me $20 or whatever. No big deal. So then I looked at some of the keywords they had suggested that I put in, and a keyword like Canton.
You're right. That's dangerous using their suggestions.
Or Michigan. Yeah. Well, now computer I did leave in because I actually was getting some decent clicks off of computer.
Yeah, but they can't be. What are the odds that somebody who types computer into Bing is looking for a computer repair shop in Canton?
Well, right, except that there's three ways you can set up a keyword. You can set it up as a phrase. You can set it up as a broad form or a word?
Exact match?
Exact match, yeah, there you go. I looked at something like that, and I'm like going, well, depending on what they do, I don't mind that my advertising comes up because my advertisement, basically, the heading is TechNut Computer Repair.
Okay.
So I look at that. I didn't just put a generic,
right.
Call me for this or whatever,
yeah.
like some people do. Because for me, I really want to create a brand name. I want, you know, TechNut to be the brand name that people go to and go, hey, that's a computer shop I go to.
Yeah.
You know, no different than any other, you know, computer shops. A lot of other computer shops just use generic terms. You know, call me now for a fix or, you know, whatever. Serving Canton, you know, or you know, just different things. But mine is, you know, it tells you what it is. It's TechNut Computer Repair. The other thing I did was so that people would click on my website is I used to have my price in there. I did a $89 flat fee. I actually took that out and readjusted some of the words on it. So basically it says, you know, call now for a free estimate and, you know, fast, friendly, local, you know, that type of thing. Just some keywords out there just to pique some interest. Hey, click on my ad, you know, see that, you know, I'm using the same template that, you know, you sold me years ago, the tech site, you know, builder. And I want to do more with that eventually. I just haven't gotten around to it. And I've got my picture up there. So a lot of these computer sites that I go to that are advertising, I look at them and I go, they're very generic. You know, they got the cute little girl with the phone, you know, that goes, hey, call me now for service. And it's like, really? So I try to put a more of a real face with mine. And hopefully those are the type of people I want. I want you to be able to come to my website, and I want you to be able to look at me and go, hey, that guy looks trustworthy. I think I can trust him. Or when you talk to me on the phone, you can see that, you know, I'm the guy that you want to deal with, not somebody that's just going to talk circles around you and get you to do something or buy something or whatever. So,
no, totally. That's awesome.
Oh, I totally forgot to tell her.
No, it's all right. It's all right. This is not live anyway.
Gotcha.
But for anybody who's listening, somebody just walked into his room. The key that's such a key thing. And when you say you have your picture up there, it is a picture of you, and it's you fixing a computer, right?
Right. Yep. You got it.
They could tell, because if you just put a picture of a dude fixing a computer that's stock, people will be like, that might not be the dude who fixed it. But if you put a picture of you fixing a computer, people can tell, oh, that's probably Jeff, or that's the guy who's going to be fixing my computer.
Right.
That's so key. That personal touch just creates this reality between you and them. It really is helpful.
Chris, I think so.
Chris Barry even said when he was doing his business, he has a picture of him and his daughter up there. And he said he got so many people telling him that they called him because he looked like such a nice person with his daughter sitting there. You know what I mean?
That's good. That's good. That's awesome.
So totally, that's a good tip.
Oh, that's cool. So the other thing I did is the same thing that you can list your business for free on Google, right? And I think most people know that. You just it's like Google business listing or something like that. Just you can search for it. Anyways, you can put your business up there. And the other thing I did with Google AdWords is I linked that business listing to my Google AdWords account. Now, the only thing that's different is back in the day with Google AdWords, you could take an area and you could kind of cut it out in any shape you want. They don't do that anymore. They cut that out.
Can you just do radius?
You can do radius, which is a circle. You can do zip code. So you just kind of cut it down to zip code. So with my Google AdWords, what I did was I had two zip codes, which is 48187 and 48188, which is the two area codes in Canton. Mm-hmm. And Canton is 6 by 6 miles square. So now I'm in the lower western side of Canton. So I'm in the southwestern side of Canton. But I still figured that was a good area to advertise in or whatever. And you know, with Google AdWords too, the advertisements will bleed over a little bit, meaning they'll go outside your area just a tad.
Yes, of course.
So, and that's fine. Whatever. But now when I hooked my business listing to my AdWords account, what it does is when I actually put the when AdWords comes up on the side, not on the main 1, 2, and 3 at the top, but when it comes on the side, it shows my address and phone number down at the bottom. And the only thing you can do with that is you can, from your address, you can do like a 5, 10, or it might even be a 10, 15, 20-mile radius, something like that, up to 50 miles or something. Whatever the lowest one was. I either took a 5-mile radius or it might even been 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I did 10 miles from my address. So that's 10 miles north, south, east, and west.
Right.
So that kind of opened my area up a little bit. And again, it's bringing people that are more local to me, and that's what I'm looking for. I don't want to travel 45 minutes to a computer repair. It's not worth it to me.
No, it's a pain.
You know, there's not enough money in it, I don't think. The Geek Squad and all those guys, they got, a ton of cars to drive here and there, and that's fine, but I'm not interested in that. I want local business, people that are going to come back to me or refer me to, their friends and neighbors, basically.
Sure. Now, so you have in Google AdWords your zip codes set up, and then what is it called? Google Business?
I think it's Google Business listing or something like that. I'm trying to remember.
In that, you put your address and you could hook you that to your AdWords and you made the radius based off your address.
Yes.
Okay.
So it kind of it encompassed the same. So if Canton is 6 by 6 miles wide and tall, it encompassed that same area, but it kind of changed it a little bit because now I'm going 10 miles. Yeah. So I'm like 4 miles past north. I'm, you know, like maybe 3 miles to the east. I'm, you know, 4 miles to the west, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, so you got a little bit more.
A little bit more open, yeah, a little bit more open area, which, you know, they kind of, they're like, you know, they caution against it when you change it, but I think it works for me. And like I said, for my goals and what I wanted, you know, that local area, so.
Totally.
That's what I was looking for.
Cool, man. So that's a good little AdWords, some good AdWords advice. Before you go on, I want to actually make a quick announcement here. I want to take the opportunity when I'm doing these shows to just throw this in there because, like we talked about before the show and like I've said to you guys in the past, I'm getting out of doing podcasting about computers, and the Podnuts Network, which you guys are listening to right now, is up for sale. If anybody is interested in podcasting and carrying on Podnuts and did what I did in the beginning, fixes computers, or even if you don't, you just like computers and you want to talk about it and podcast about it. This is a fully built network with a community that's just wants more computer repair stuff. And I don't feel like I could fill the shoes like I once did. So I want to turn it over to somebody who can. If anybody's interested, Podnuts is up for public auction. It is at flippa.com. You can just go to flippa.com. Do a search for Podnuts there. Flippa is just an auction site where you can buy and sell websites. And the price is drastically reduced. I'm looking for somebody who, you know, I like and wants to carry the torch on. There's a starting bid of $14,900, and there's a buy it now price, I think, of like $30, just like eBay. And if anybody's interested, go over there, read the whole description. If it's something you're interested in, send me an email, click the buy now button, whatever you want to do. But, I just want to let you guys know that I want Podnuts to continue without me and be better and stronger than ever. That's my goal. So head on over there if you're interested. All right, Jeff.
Okay, so we're talking about advertising still. So yeah. The same thing with the Bing advertising. You can do the same thing. You can put a business listing. It's like, you know, I don't know if Microsoft or it might be Bing business listing or something like that. Anyways, you can do a search on it. Because you can't find it easily, but just do a search and it'll come up. And so you can put it on. You can put a business listing for free on the Bing network also, which is something I did. And it's one of those things when you create a business listing, they actually send you a code in the mail, like 7 to 10 days later that you
have to make sure that you live there or you work there.
To make sure it's a legitimate business. So you got to wait. You know, it takes about 10 days to get that established. But now, that's free.
The Bing Ads, I think it's called Microsoft Ad Center that uses Bing Ads. Is this Bing Business, is that a part of Ad Center or is that something separate?
It's something separate. It's just like Google AdWords has their Google AdWords, but then they also have their business listing, which will let you put a business listing in for free. Bing does the same exact thing. Microsoft's doing the same thing.
So. No reason not to use that, especially with the good point you brought up at the beginning that most people leave Internet Explorer and Bing on their machines. It's true.
Yeah. So, like, I'm getting more consistent clicks now. I'm not getting any calls. Not sure why that, you know, what that's exactly due to. Maybe it's some of the keywords that we talked about before. Maybe I should pull the generic keyword computer out of there. The problem is I'm seeing from the impressions though, it seems like I'm getting a lot more impressions from that. So I'm gonna let it ride for a little bit, and as long as it doesn't become too abusive where I'm spending, you know, $100 a month on that keyword.
Yeah.
I'll see what it does.
It's true. I mean, but it's a tough keyword. Computer is so broad.
Sure.
And that's why you're going to get a lot of impressions on it. And people are searching for computer, all kinds of computer stuff, especially if it's not exact match, if it's a broad match.
Right.
But like you said, your saving grace is your ad, which says Technic Computer Repair.
Yes.
So nobody's going to click on that if they want to buy a gaming rig. Maybe they would. I don't know. But or if they need computer lessons or computer help, that's something else. So your ad basically filters out. But if you're still getting people click on anything, so if you're still getting a lot of clicks and no business, I would definitely look at that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's part of the advertising. People are going to click on things, and I think a lot of times, like I said, when I started up my Bing AdWords, you know, I basically gotten, you know, 4,000 impressions from the keywords I had in there. Some, you know, were a little, I had Canton and Michigan and stuff like that were separate keywords. And, you know, 13 clicks in the first day. But I think what happens a lot of time, I think I try never to do this, but I think sometimes businesses, when they see other businesses up there, I don't know why, but I think they click on them to check them out and see who's the competition and stuff. That's just my gut feeling. Maybe they don't. Maybe it's just people generally just clicking on the ads. I don't
know. No, I think you're right. And I do what you do. I'll copy and paste the URL most of the times, unless I'm in a bad mood. I'll copy and paste the URL out, and I'll just post it in the browser because, you know, they know they're charging you.
Yeah, so exactly.
That's not so cool.
I try never to do that to anybody, you know, any of the, you know, competing businesses out there. And I will say this again. I think in computer repair business, I don't think there needs to be competition. Like, you know, if you're running a 10-man shop, you can still do only so many computers in a week. You know, and are you ever going to get to a 20 or 30 man shop? Maybe, maybe not. You know, are places like Best Buy or Staples and stuff like that, are they going to be around forever? Well, from what we've seen in the past, absolutely not. There's no CompUSA, there's no Circuit City, you know, and these places all had people that fixed computers and did certain things. So, you know, some of these businesses might go bye-bye, you know, so.
Yeah. There's such a booming business. There's plenty of computers to go around to fix.
Well, right, I think now. I think there will always be computers to fix, whether it's desktops, laptops.
Tablets.
I think tablets. I think what, you know, Mike Smith made a good point on Podnuts the other day is, you know, basically you need to learn laptops. And I'm the same way because, you know, if you can do a laptop jack repair, you know, I charge $100. Now, most of your shops are going to charge in a 200 plus range. You know, I charge $100 because to me, for $100, it's worth it. The part is never no more than $10. So, you know, some people are like, well, that's not worth it to pull out. And I'm like, I actually enjoy pulling them apart. And, you know, it's kind of a thrill to desolder and solder it, you know. It's something like that you can do. I think that helps people out because instead of replacing their computer, they're willing to spend $100.
Oh yeah,
to get that jack, you know, repaired. So
and it's like you said early on. This isn't your full time job,
right?
You know, so if you enjoy fixing laptops, you can actually afford to give them a little bit of a break,
right?
On the your business, your competition's not going to like that,
right?
But I was the same way, man. I loved tearing those things apart. So yeah, it's a little tough to charge for something you love, like a really high rate. But still, I mean, business is business, and
Well, and it still nets me for a couple hours work, it nets me $90. So, yeah. I mean, so to me, that's more than, you know, than worth it. You know, and same thing on screen repairs. You know, I would charge whatever the screen was and then charge my flat rate. Well, what I noticed was when people were calling is that they weren't paying that or they didn't want to pay that. So I just started doing a flat because most of your people, if you've got a 15.6-inch laptop, which most people do, the keyboards screens are, you know, anywhere from 80 to, you know, $125 at the most, depending on what type of screen it is. And I charge $150, you know, and then I do my due diligence and I find the laptop screen for, you know, the best price that I can find it from a reputable seller on eBay. And so when I do that, you know, to me, again, a screen repair, it's for the, you know, 20 minutes it takes me, it's, you know, it's worth it for $150.
So, yeah, they're a dream. I mean, that's like just pop the bezel off, throw the screen in, and they're easy.
You know, so I'm still making, you know, $60-$70 most times on a screen repair. So to me, again, it's one of those things that, you know, you can do a flat rate every time on everything, but I just think there's certain things that, I think nowadays, especially on laptops, you get to a price point where people are like, going, well, I could buy a if I'm going to get charged $200, I can get, you know, a new computer for $300.
Yes.
You know, or $400. So it becomes a little bit harder sell at that point, I think.
Yeah. So. And you know what else? If you look at it like an hourly rate, like how long it takes you to do the job plus how much you're making, it puts it in perspective too.
Yes.
Like if it takes you 2 hours to do a power jack job and you charge $100, all right, $50 an hour is not bad. Same thing with your screen. You know, it takes you an hour or whatever. You made another $50. So it's like you're making $50 an hour.
Exactly.
Much.
And that's how I've always looked at my business. You know, I try to do the flat rate, but, you know, now doing a flat rate, $89 for, you know, there's all kinds of computer shops around here that, you know, you see their advertisements, $59, $69, you know, $79. I haven't seen any at $89. I think people have lowered their rates.
Wow, I know that.
Yeah, but a lot of times when you go to the search your website, a lot of times you'll see that starting.
Yeah, okay.
And what do you get for the $59? And I can tell you, like for a virus removal, we'll just go over that real quick. For me, when I do a virus removal, and I think I heard one of your last the last Podnuts Dailies, they were talking about they were doing a lot of reinstalls. And that truly is the only way that you can know 100% that you've got everything out of there.
Right.
I don't like doing reinstalls unless I absolutely have to. Like something is so screwed up that it just will not run properly or something's not running right. Most of the time I can still do – I do about anywhere between 6 and probably 10 hours worth of scans using different tools on a computer. And I
10
get
hours
it,
worth. Wow.
Yeah, and I get it very, very, very clean. As clean as I know how with the different, you know, different things that I've seen. But, you know, to me, if I have a laptop or a computer sitting on a desk, you know, or on my bench, and it's just sitting there running scans, I'm not sitting there watching it. You know, so to me, it's worth it to have that. And I've never had a – I've never gotten a computer back that was reinfected, never.
Really?
Yeah, so I mean – everything I've done, I usually do not see those people for at least another year.
Wow.
You know, so I just – to me, it's more worth it to do what's right. You know, I'll do that. I'll do updates. You know, I'll blow the thing out, make sure that there's no dust in whether it's a laptop or a desktop. You know, I'll make sure your drivers are good. I'll make sure that you've got a good, you know, virus scan running, that type of thing. You know, whatever it is. You know, a lot of people, they use the trial stuff, and that's – they haven't used that for, you know, 2 years. Hasn't been updated in 2 years. Like, really? Or they never installed it initially, you know? So it's just been running basically naked on the internet for 2 years.
Wow. What do you put on there? I mean, do you charge them for antivirus? Do you put, like, security essentials?
Right now I put Microsoft Security Essentials. I'm going to find a good reseller for somebody that, you know, that I like. Maybe I've got a copy of Kaspersky I was going to put on one of my machines just to see how I like that and see what runs good out there.
I was buying Norton antivirus for, I think, $15 on eBay in bulk.
Okay.
I mean, you don't absolutely have to find a supplier. eBay can be your supplier.
Right.
But then it actually turned out I started buying off the company that was selling on eBay and not going through eBay anymore. So it's a good place to find wholesalers, I think.
Good. I would – duly noted. I will definitely check that out. So it's one of those things we talked about before the show. I really need to start, and I say this loosely, but upsell people. And if they're not running an antivirus, I need to charge, you know, a decent price for an antivirus. And I feel if I'm getting you know, an antivirus for $15 or whatever, $10-$15, and I'm selling it for $30-$35, that's a good. To me, that's a good upsell because people are buying this stuff all the time at Micro Center, Best Buy, Walmart, whatever, and they're paying $60 for these things.
Yeah, they're going to go buy it. If you don't sell it to them, they're going to go buy it somewhere else.
Exactly. So what I try to, you know, so one of my goals in the future is to get, you know, to get an antivirus that I like, and you know, just start selling it. And when people don't have a good antivirus on their computer, I go, hey, here's what I can do, and you know, put that on there, and you know, charge them whatever.
Yeah, RAM is a great upsell too. There's lots of great upsells. I mean, we talked about this before the show too. If you guys really want to become a master of this, check out Chris's videos at wisetechnician.com. He's the master at this, or at least for people I've talked to, he really knows how to give the customer basically what they need, and that's an important thing to have if in a computer repair business. So.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. Chris is the master of definitely doing the upsell, and he's not doing anything abusive. He's giving people what they need, and he's making money off of it, which there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Right.
I've got the nice guy syndrome, which, you know, I've got to turn that nice guy syndrome into I do good work. That's why I'm worth X amount of dollars, you know, for you to bring your computer to me. But maybe I'm still
way to get rid of nice guy syndrome. I should have did this too. Is every penny I make, I should put it into an account and consider that it's spent. Consider I don't even have that money anymore. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
And,
yeah.
And then feel how much necessity is pushed on me to make more money.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. So anyway, that's what I've been doing with the advertising. And then, you know, kind of what we're talking about, you know, we really need to get paid, you know, you need to get paid, you know, what you're worth and what you do. And I think there's a lot of people out there that I've seen advertising now that people have said, oh, I can turn your computer back to you in an hour. I'm like, well, yeah, I could get, you know, if you had a, you know, one of the XP malwares that were running on your system or whatever, or Windows malware type of thing. Yeah, I could run a program and get rid of it and get rid of that link, but the reason your computer stopped working was there was other things, other viruses and malware that you have on there that you don't even realize. And I don't know if people really understand this, but a lot of times when you have one virus or one piece of malware on there, unless the virus is malicious for some sort of reason, but if it's just on there to basically go back and contact the mothership, kind of see what you're doing, where you're going type of thing, these things by themselves will run no problem most of the time. Part of the reason they cause conflict is because so many get downloaded to one machine and they start fighting amongst each other, or whoever was doing the malware or virus, you know, has bad code in there and it doesn't work well with Windows, you know, whatever. But I think most of the time when you have it, when a person brings a computer problem to you, a virus or malware, their machine is infected with many versions, you know.
Yeah.
So that's where I go, yeah, I could do the hour fix, but that's not necessarily going to get rid of everything. If you've got rootkits in there and different things sitting in the background, that's not going to get rid of that stuff. And guess what? You're probably going to come back to me, or your computers are going to start running slow again, you know, within a month's time, couple months' time.
Hopefully that's what's going to happen with people who are doing this one-hour fix. It's almost like a drive-through, practically.
Right.
These people are going to see that, oh, man, my computer ran good for 5 minutes, and now it sucks again, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I agree with you. It's people usually bring their computers in when they're so compounded with crap that they just can't function at all anymore.
Right.
I mean, my brother has a computer, and it runs slow as possibly can be, but he's still using it because it runs. Even
right.
if it runs slow, it still runs. I don't think he has viruses. He's probably got just all kinds of gunk on it.
Sure.
But and another thing too, Jeff, and I'm sure you've witnessed this, is a lot of times computer repair jobs always take longer than you estimate. For me, it did anyway. Like, oh, I can knock this out. And then 2 hours later, you're still working on the darn thing.
Right.
So it's tough to guarantee a one-hour job. That's for somebody who's been in the field, and we just know from working on computers, you can't deliver on that.
No. I don't think so. But, you know, you would be amazed at how many people have called me up here even within the last month and said, you know, hey, can you have the computer back to me today? And that was kind of a factor for them. And I didn't get the business, you know. One thing, I heard Chris talk about this a while back, but he talked about, you know, doing basically a free diagnostic. And I definitely use that. I go, you know, if people are having a problem, I'm like, look, bring your computer to me. I'll give it a free checkup, and I'll let you know what's going on. Because once you get into the shop, you've got the job. People are not coming back to pick their computer up broken. They're going to have you fix it.
That was always the first thing I said. Bring it in.
Yep.
That was always after they told me what was wrong. I said, bring it in. I'll take a look. Bring it in.
Exactly.
I'll take a look. Bring it in. I'll take a look. Because it's exactly like you said. Once they have it in, they're going to use you, and it's good that they're using you because you know you're good. So it's not. There's nothing wrong with saying that.
Exactly. So I, you know, so that's helped out too. But some people are like, well, if you can't have it back to me today, I'm like, well, whatever. You know what? That's not the type of person. That's not the type of business I want.
Yeah.
You know, and some people might take this wrong, but I charge a little bit more of a premium because there are certain types of people that I don't want the person that's just looking to save a dollar.
Yeah.
You know. I want the person that wants good work done and is willing to pay for it, because I believe service is worth, you know, X amount of dollars. Whether it's when I take my car to the shop, I know those guys get paid, you know, $80 to $120 an hour. Probably not the people there, but I know the company makes $80 to $120 an hour for service. Well, guess what? There are certain things that I can't do on a car, and I'm willing to pay for that because those guys do that stuff all the time.
Right.
You know, and I know they're good at it, and they're going to guarantee it, and it's fine. So I think service is, you know, definitely key, you know, in charging a good rate, because I don't want people that are just trying to save a buck, and those usually are your people that are going to cause you more problems. Well, this doesn't work, and that doesn't work, and it's like...
No, they're going to kill you. You're right.
Yeah,
so. I went through that. I've almost had to just... I was nice, but I've almost had to kick people out of my shop. You get people in. Depending on how much you charge, it's true. And if you want the higher quality people that are willing to pay, if you charge a higher rate, that you're going to get those people.
Right. And I look at how many people, you know, are those people that go to Best Buy and, you know, and pay four times what I charge.
They line up at the door.
I know. So, and, you know, but I mean, in the past, I've gotten computers from Best Buy. I've gotten computers, not from them, but from people that have taken them to Best Buy.
Yeah.
From Micro Center, because a lot of times, again, here's with your bigger shops, you know, a lot of times they're so, either they don't have enough staff to take care of it, or they, it's like, you know, one computer at Micro Center was sitting on the shelf for 2 weeks. Guy's like, hey, I need my computer. He went back, picked it up, brought it to me. I fixed it within 24 hours, had it back to him, you know?
Yep.
And I think that's more key than anything else is like, if I want service, I want it within a decent amount of time. And I think, you know, 24 to 48 hours is a decent turnaround time for any computer.
Oh, God, that's amazing turnaround time.
If you're going to go a week or 2 weeks, I just, to me, that's not worth it. Unless you have so many computers in your house, you really don't care. But no, most people aren't like that. They've got one or two, you know, or they got their main one that they need, you know?
Yeah. It's actually, I thought about it yesterday, because I'm in Best Buy all the time, and I think I talked to somebody from the Geek Squad, and I had a cognition, like, them being around is really good for small businesses. I mean, at least them being around, charging a ton, and usually not giving optimum customer service is great for smaller businesses, because that people are going to get frustrated with that and call somebody else.
Yes.
If they did a bang up job and they charged a low price, then we would worry. We should worry. You know
exactly.
What I mean? Yeah.
Then I would have to make some adjustments. But until. Yeah. As long as people are going to Best Buy and Staples and stuff like that and having their stuff fixed, then I figure I'm good.
You know? You're good for now.
I think that, you know, you're paying people, you know, at Best Buy, you know, they're only getting I don't know what they make per hour, but I know it's not a whole lot. And you're only going to, you know, to a lot of those people, it's just a job. And there's not it's not their own business, so they're not putting their heart and soul into it, and I think that's a huge difference.
And a lot of times they're kids, too.
Yeah.
And kids are kids. I mean, got to love them, but sometimes they don't have consequences on their conscience.
Exactly. So.
Yeah.
All right, so some of the things I've come across, and I can't remember when the last time we did a show, but some of the things I've come across, I was just going back and looking through. A lot of times what I do is if there's a weird fix or something, I find how to fix it. I copy it off the internet. I put it into a Word format and I keep it in a file folder called how to's. So I can always go back and I put some sort of, you know, title on it to say, you know, what it is and, you know, and what it helped me fix. One of the things that I was using for passwords, for resetting passwords, I was using Oafcrack, OPH crack, I think it's called. Oafcrack. And to be honest with you, unless it was a simple password, they weren't working. And it wasn't working on, you know, XP, Vista 7. I just could not get it to work.
That's a tough one, too, because you put it in, and it's got to run. It's got to do its thing. It goes through all the tables.
Yep.
It's all automatic. You just literally fire it up, and it runs. But still, you got to wait.
Yep. So it was taking way too long to reset a password. So I'm like... So I did some research and found a way to do a password reset using sticky keys. Now everybody knows if you hit your shift key five times simultaneously, it goes into it brings up basically a format where it says, you know, it's a sticky key thing where it comes up and gives you, you can do something from that point. I can't remember
what is sticky keys? What do you mean?
The reason I knew about it was because I had to actually turn it off on my computers because it would bother me in video games. When I'm playing a video game, I'm, you know, hitting shift to run or I'm hitting it simultaneously, it would pop me out of the game and a little pop-up window would come up. It's basically a little script that runs. I can't remember if I – I don't want to do it on here because I don't want to mess up this recording. But
okay.
Anyways, you hit your shift key 5 times, and it brings up, you know, basically a command prompt.
Huh.
So the way that you can reset the password – let me open up that document. You can use your Windows – you can use a Windows Vista CD, okay, or you can use a Windows 7 CD, and you can basically you go in, you start it up, you put it into repair mode, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And once you put it into repair mode, so you're in your recovery console, and it'll ask for a password for the offline install. Okay, okay, you can still launch a command prompt from there once you get in repair. One of the last things on that menu is out of recovery, restore, different things that are in the menu when you come up for repair. The last one is command prompt, so you can pull that up. And basically, you're going to go in and you basically change one of the files in there. I won't go over it, but you can just do a search for resetting a Windows 7 or Windows Vista password. But basically, you change the command prompt, the sticky keys, so that when you go to log into the computer, you can hit the shift key 5 times, and it brings up a command prompt at that time. And then you can go in and you can reset the password from that point.
Really?
Yeah. It's real easy to do. I mean, it's like dead simple. You got to type some commands in there. So you can't. The only disk you cannot use is a Windows XP disk. But you can use Windows Vista or Windows 7 with their repair console on a Windows XP machine. So
It's
good for all machines.
No kidding. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, because I ran into a couple that I didn't realize how to, change the password. So what this does is it resets a password. You put in a password you want. So you're actually, all you're doing is by doing this, it's a workaround to basically replace the password. So you replace it with something that you know. So when you go back in, to log in, you put in your password that you put in, it gets in, then you can either, shut the password off or, reset it or whatever from that point. So,
and you don't have to be logged in to do that?
No. Nope.
Neat.
So,
go-to tool for passwords was, I started with Offcrack, like you.
Yep.
And then I found Offline NT Password and Registry Editor. And I must have deleted 100 passwords with that thing. That's a great tool. It's also a bootable disk. It's very daunting looking because it's all text. I think it's Linux.
Linux, okay.
And that can wipe out passwords quite easily. So that's another good tool. I don't know if it still works, but it worked when I was doing computers.
Well, it's like I said, with stuff like Offcrack would, work on basic Word. If you put any complex, like if you put a number, or like a capital letter in your passwords, which actually people are starting to do, believe it or not. They're not just doing the generic passwords like, dog password, whatever. Yeah, people are actually starting to be a little more better with their passwords.
Wow, that's impressive.
So Offcrack just, I never could get it to work, and it was just so wasted a lot of time. This you can do within, less than 5 minutes. I can have the password reset. So
that's fantastic. It's a great, great tip.
So the other thing I ran into is I had a laptop that came in and the DVD drive did not work. So I ordered another DVD drive, no problem. Well, the problem was it wasn't a DVD drive. It must have been the port on a motherboard. Everything else on his computer worked, no problem. So it was, at this point, it was not worth replacing a motherboard because everything worked. So I had to figure out, somebody had tried to reinstall Windows and they screwed it up. And the thing just wasn't booting. So I had went out and did some research and figured out how to create a bootable Windows install on a flash drive.
Ooh, neat.
So and it was really, again, it was real easy to do. You basically you format a USB flash drive to FAT32 file system. You run command exe. And then, you do a disk partition, you list the volume, select volume, you clean, create partition primary, select partition 1, active, format, and assign and then exit. And so you can just use the DVD-ROM out of a computer, and you do a command prompt, and you do a there's an xcopy command that you use. And again, you can search this. Yeah, it sounds complicated, but it's very easy to do. It's
where did you find
page.
It? Do you have a link?
I don't have a link on this one because a lot of times, like I said, for whatever reason, when I've come across these problems, I usually just copy the text. I used to put whoever it came from. This one I did not.
Okay.
So I just have.
What do you recommend somebody search for?
Just a formatted USB flash memory drive, or create a bootable Windows Vista on flash memory, something like that. If you do a search term like that, but you can do it with Vista, you can do it with 7. I think there was somebody on TechNibble I think it was one of the tools they've got on there. If you search in there, there's a way, and you got to have a big enough USB stick. You can put all the different versions, like XP, Windows,
wow,
or XP, Vista, 7, all on one flash drive.
Neat. So you can install off of this flash drive. You can install on OS.
And actually, it's faster than using a CD, to be honest with you. I was surprised how fast it was. I was like, wow, it just click, 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 boom, installs everything. You go in, you finish it up, and so And part of the reason is you're going to want to do that is a lot of these, either the thinner laptops that are coming out or even the netbooks, which I don't know how popular those things are or aren't, but I still do get some of them in the shop that have problems, bad hard drives, bad RAM, screens that get cracked or whatever. You got to have a way to reinstall these operating systems, and there's no CD drive on these things. So you have to have something that you can plug into USB. So,
or you get a USB DVD drive.
You could do that, but that, and I got to pull out all the cables, and it just takes so much time to plug everything in, and it's just nicer to have a little flash drive sitting there where I can just plug. What do I need? Vista? Okay, boom.
Yeah.
I
agree. Flash drive is definitely the way to go. That's pretty cool.
So.
Good time, man.
I've been doing that. I don't know if I talked about this last time, but I'm going to talk about it again because I'm trying to remember when I've had this a couple of times, and it's the how to fix a Vista black screen of death, or KSOD. I don't know why they call it KSOD, but they use the last letter in the word black, and I don't know. Anyways, if you do a search for Vista black screen of death or KSOD, you will find this fix. But again, this is one of those things where you have a black screen that comes up on a computer. You have a mouse cursor that you can move around and do whatever you want with, but there's nothing to click on. It's just a blank black screen. There was something that happened in Vista. I don't know if it was during an update or there's just some bad coding in a certain part of it, but this happens. So you can go through this process where you can basically fix this, and it shows you. And it's basically going into the registry. You're going to go into the H key local machine, and you get to a certain. You've got to load the Hive system, which is basically what's running in the background. Because I tried the generic fixes. Normally when you have something like that, you can redo the master boot record. That didn't work. I think I tried to restore on it. Restore doesn't work. So it's something in the registry you actually have to go in and physically change. And once you do that, it comes up, no problem. And then
do you have a link for that?
There. This one I might. Let me look to the top. There is a ddk.net, and I'm not sure if the link is active, but it was a Dennis J. Crone that was working. He worked with Microsoft on it. And
DJK or DDK?
DDK.
DDK, yeah. All right.
DDK.net. So.
That'll work. Good, man. A fix for the black screen of death.
Wow. Black screen of death, yeah. And it's only, my understanding is at this point, it was only on Vista machines.
Yeah.
So
I don't remember black screens of death, really.
Yeah.
XPs.
No. So, and I still get a fair amount of Vista. I'm starting to get more 7, because it's been a while, but
yeah.
But even people that bought computers 5 years ago, they came with Vista.
Yeah.
And a lot of those people didn't upgrade. So, all right. So, let's see. And I know
if you don't have any more, we got a couple emails, actually.
I got one more, and I'm not sure if I talked about this in the past, but I'll go over it because, you know, one thing I've liked from Podnuts Daily is the, you know, even if I've heard information more than one time, I've heard it from different angles, different people coming across it, I go, oh, yeah. And because there's a lot of times we do so many things as techs, we forget,
yeah,
you know, what we did or, you know, and a lot of times it's sometimes it's difficult to search, you know, the internet to find certain things. So it's nice to have these references, whether it's on the, you know, the Podnuts forums, you know, Tech Nibble is a good resource for that type of stuff. Because it's just hard to find that information. So.
Sure.
But this was a XP, and I don't know how many, you know, again, end of life for XP is coming here pretty soon.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many XP machines we're going to be getting in the shops over the next few years. Probably not many, but there was an endless boot loop or loop reboot from Service Pack 3. And believe it or not, you'll still have people out there that are still running Service Pack 1. Service Pack 2.
Oh my God.
They've never updated to Service Pack 3. So a lot of times their system ends up being hosed, but then one day for whatever reason they go to change and they update, you know, SP3 and there's a problem. So anyways, there's basically you can search for how to stop endless loop reboot from SP3. And I don't have a link on this one. But again, you're basically just changing something in a registry, and it's a HKEY local machine system control set 1 services Intel PPM 4, and you're just changing, you're replacing the value from 1 with a 4, and you hit OK to save the registry, edit on that, and it stops the machine from rebooting.
Wow.
So
these are the things, like these little things you just talked about, your little tips here, you learn from doing, and you Google and find it out. I mean, that's...
Right.
That's what I did so many times as a tech. Like I Google the errors I get, or I Google the problem that's going on, and Google just hooked me up so much during that whole time. So
yep.
you got to be smart, and you got to know how to Google. I mean, type the whole error you're getting into Google. Don't type something else. You know, like be smart about how you do searches, and that's how you learn. So.
I tell people this all the time. I am not any smarter than the next guy. I said, but, you know, and I try to explain this to even my parents. I go, my dad had a problem with his phone. It kept having this red screen come up around. It was blinking. He took it back to the Sprint store. They couldn't figure it out. And he was also having something else that was going wrong. And I looked it up on Google, did my search for it. I fixed both his problems in less than 2 minutes. And he's like, I spent an hour at the Sprint store and these guys couldn't even figure it out. I go, Dad, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I said, but... I said, the thing is, I said, searching Google is an art, and there's certain ways to do it, because if you don't kind of cut what you're looking for down to try and find it, man, the internet can send you all over the place.
Totally.
I'm a good Google searcher. I can search Google very well using the right words.
Well, let
words.
Me tell you this. You are smarter than the next guy. So there you go. Yeah, definitely. You got to know how it thinks. You got to know how the search engine thinks, and then you can talk to it.
Yep,
but
exactly.
You can't ask it questions like a person, and you can't do two general searches. You're right. It is an art. It's learnable, but a lot of us just pick it up anyway.
Absolutely.
Awesome, man. Really good stuff, this show. You always bring the goods. I tell you that every time.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. You want to do some emails?
Sure.
All right, this one's from Daryl. He said, I've noticed when you have computer techs on your various shows, nobody mentions what certificates they have. Could you possibly ask them to briefly mention what certs they have? I'm an aspiring computer tech and will be getting my A+ cert sometime this summer, and hearing the different stories these guests tell are very intriguing. Thanks for all the good info in each show, and keep up the good work. Well, before I put you on the spot, Jeff, I would like to tell Daryl that I don't have any certs, and I started a very successful computer repair business, and the way I learned was like me and Jeff just talked about. You find out a problem you're having, you Google it, you get the answer, you fix it, and move on. Certs are good for, I guess, depending on what kind of job you want to get. So a lot of people might be looking for certs, but I didn't have any, and I did perfectly fine. So don't let it stop you. Good luck on your A+, but it's not absolutely necessary if you're just going into business for yourself. What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, my certs are the certs of hard knocks. Yeah. You know, I basically, I, you know, did a lot of searching, and I just searched for problems just like you did when you had your shop. And I've been able to fix, to this day, and I, you know, a knock on wood, there has not been a computer that I have not been able to fix. And you, part of computer repair is really, you're trying to assess a problem, but you have to be a problem solver. If you're not a problem solver, then this business probably is not for you. I like to solve problems. I like to fix it. I like to get to the end result.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember there was one computer I remember that I almost gave up on, and I was sitting at a guy's house. And I probably told you about this on a previous show, but I'm sitting there, and we couldn't figure out why his computer could not get on the internet, and I was there for like 2 hours, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I was out of options. Everything I had tried did not work, and I was just about to go, dude, you don't owe me nothing. I got an hour drive back home. This kind of sucks, you know?
Yep.
And I, out of the blue, I'm just thinking in my head, and I go, wait a minute. I said, all right, this is a Hail Mary. And I told the guy who was sitting right next to me, I go, this is a Hail Mary, but we're going to try this. I uninstalled his antivirus. And it was like Panda antivirus or something.
Yeah.
And apparently they just had an update within the last couple of days when he lost his internet. When I uninstalled it, lo and behold, boom, got on the internet, no problem. So either something got changed in there, and I told, you know, I said, hey, you can use this, or I don't know if I would put that back in, but, you know, you're on the internet, you know, Microsoft Security Essentials or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, those are the types of things that you have to do, because you can have as many certs as you want. And I even thought about going back to school. But to me, if I was young, maybe I would, because if I'm going into a career field where I need, you know, those certs as a barrier of entry, in other words, they're going to look at that to even look mm-hmm. at my resume.
Exactly.
Yes, I'm going to go do that. But from what I've looked at on the A-plus certs, there's not a whole lot that I don't know. I mean, it is basic stuff, you know. But you got to start somewhere. So
sure.
if you feel comfortable getting those types of certs and starting to do that, that's fine. But I think you just have to remember, you have to be a problem solver.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Yeah, I mean, if you've been around computers your whole life and you kind of know how they work and think, and there's no reason to stop. There's nothing that should stop you from just starting your business immediately and getting to work and learning hard knocks, like Jeff just said. That's a very effective way. If you do that for a month, you'll probably know 10 times more than you would have to learn for your A+. So don't let that stop you, and don't worry about starting. Just start. Just
right.
Jump, dig, put your feet in, and just start. That's what I say.
Yep.
All right, cool. Got another email here. This one's from Chris. He says, hey, I'm beginning to start a computer repair business. I would like to offer loaner laptops, but I'm concerned about what the customer may do on the laptop, such as illegal downloads or anything against the law. Would it be possible for the illegal activity to be traced back to the business / computer, even though the IP address would be different from each location the computer goes to, as I don't believe the system's MAC address is sent online to web servers? That's a good question, Chris. I have no idea, so I told him to access the Podnuts forums and ask in there. But what I would think is, you never know what's going to be on these machines. If you get it back with like kiddie porn on it, you're pretty much screwed. So, I mean, you probably have to have some type of insurance. That might be a good idea to get some type of insurance for, or something to cover you. But I don't know. I never even thought about that. What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, I would say if you're going to do something like that, I would probably make an image of the clean system, and as soon as you get it back in, I would re-image the system.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and that way you haven't wiped everything off of there. That's part of the problem, but at least you've gotten it off the face of the hard drive itself. I mean, any of that stuff that's not overwritten is still accessible if somebody has the right tools. Here's my opinion. If you can do a 24 to 48 hour turnover time, I wouldn't even worry about doing loaners myself. That's just my opinion. I just don't want the extra work with that. I'd rather fix your machine, get it back to you. That's my goal, is to get it back to you as quickly as possible, done right. You know,
so that's my opinion. That's the simple, safest way to go, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Last one is from Contreras. He says, or no, Uriel. He says, "Hi, how are you? I want to start by saying I've been watching your videos on how to repair laptops, and I see that you like to shop a lot on eBay, which is not bad at all. I do it a lot also. You get great prices, and you always find what you're looking for." Oh, great. There's no periods in this whole email. All right, I'll read it anyway. He says, "My question is, some of this items on eBay, they are so cheap money-wise compared to local retail stores and other online stores. So what I'm trying to say, how do you go and charge your clients? What price do you give them, the local retail store, if they carry it, or online store, let's say Newegg.com, for example, or just what you pay eBay? Hope to hear from you." Oh, there's a period. "And keep up the good work." One period. Uriel, thank you for the email. Questions basically, if you buy stuff on eBay and you get it cheap, what do you charge a customer? It's probably a good idea to charge them what the retail stores are charging them. You know, if you buy a hard drive and you get it for $50 and Best Buy selling it for $100, sell it for $100. You know, this is actually information in the Wise Technician videos that I heard, so it's worth getting the videos to just freaking hear all this kind of stuff. But that's personally what I would do too. You have some leeway there, because if they go to Best Buy and they see it for $100, then, and you sold it for $100, they're not really going to complain. So, yeah. What do you do, Jeff?
Yeah, basically, you know, I look at things, you know, kind of from a simple aspect. You know, most people in their computers, up to this point, maybe they have a 500 gig hard drive or something like that. I'm probably going to go to more of a retail store or a distributor, and, you know, most of those things, $50-$60, and I'm probably going to charge $100 for them, because I'm going to put a markup on it, even though I'm doing the repair, because I charge a low flat rate, you know, of $89. So I did learn that I do mark up my stuff, you know, a good amount when I have to replace things. I don't really, unless it's something obscure, I don't get a whole lot of stuff off of eBay unless I'm looking for a specific motherboard for a laptop that I can't find.
Yes.
I'm pretty much going to go to your either like a Micro Center or a Newegg or a Tiger Direct or something like that, or I might even go to a local computer. You know, sometimes your local computer stores, your mom and pop shops, will have older motherboards sitting on the shelf that you might be able to use. Because that's the only thing I can think is, just laptop motherboards is really the only thing that I look for on there. There's not really a whole lot of, if I'm going to buy RAM or hard drives, it's going to be from a retail store of some
sort.
Yeah,
I did too. I bought all that generic stuff from Micro Center, mm-hmm. and just the specialized laptop parts, laptop fans, laptop hinges, screens, yep. That was all eBay. Yeah, you're right.
Power jacks, stuff like that, yeah.
I did it for simplicity because I had a Micro Center near me. I could drive and get it and have it instantly. So that was a good way to do it. Do you know, I have a CompUSA near me. They've reopened as powered by Tiger Direct. Right. So they're basically Tigers with CompUSA stamped on them.
Right.
So I don't have a Micro Center, but at least I have one of them. And actually, I got my first public recognition because I had a Podnuts shirt on when I went in there. And I was going to buy an SSD drive, and I'm asking a guy about it. And one of the other guys that's behind the counter goes, "Steve." And I knew he wasn't talking to me because I didn't know the guy. And he goes, "Steve." And I look behind me, and I'm like, there's nobody else around me. He must be talking to me. So I look at him, and I go, "Yeah?" And he goes, he's like, "You don't have to know my name, but I know who you are." And I said, "How?" And he pointed to my shirt, and he goes, I'm like, "You know me from Podnuts?" He goes, "Yeah, I've been listening since the beginning." And he goes, "I was really sad to hear you're selling the network, but I hope, you know, somebody takes it over or whatever." And we talked for a little while, but that was my first public recognition. I was so
awesome.
Happy.
That's awesome.
So that's another good reason to go to CompUSA.
There you go.
Yeah. But you know what? One thing about CompUSA that I don't like, they're selling Core 2 Duo laptops, old laptops, for like $500, like on this clearance rack. It's like criminal. Some of these things, these
wow.
laptops they're selling and the prices they're asking, to me, it's like criminal. Aside from that, it's a pretty good store. But those clearance laptops, they got to go. That's not right.
Yeah, $500 for a Core 2 Duo. I mean, I guess it depends on all. Yeah, there's a lot of factors. You know, my dad just purchased a new laptop, and I'm like, I told him, I said, you shouldn't have to spend over $500. But, you know, the one he wanted was like 750 or something like that, and it was a Core i7. And, you know, I looked at the specs on it, and I go, yeah, that's a decent price for that machine. I said, it's what you want, so go
for
ahead.
For i7,
it.
That's good.
But i5.
Oh, i5.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of good machines out. I mean, I'm doing this podcast from an HP laptop I just got, a 17-inch i7. You know what I'm basically doing? I'm phasing out my laptops. I'm turning a new strategy here. I have some giant laptops I use for my music production. I mean, not laptops, some giant desktops. They're heavy. They're big. I just moved, so I was reminded of how big and heavy these things are. You know? I want to have one computer that just travels around my apartment here, and I just bought a kick-ass laptop and going to get rid of my desktops, and I'm going to try that attack and have everything in one place, backed up, of course. But it's tough to sync up three PCs with when it's not just data you're trying to sync up. I got to sync up programs and installations. I got to go install – every time I want to install something, I got to go install it on three PCs. I'm like, I'm done with that. I'm going to try this one laptop approach. But there's some decent laptops out there. These Ivy Bridge processors, they're just getting better and better, and power consumption is great, and they're fast, but anything with Core 2 Duo on it, that shouldn't be sold in the store anymore. Oh, man. All right. Jeff, it's been fantastic having you on, man. We always have a good show, and I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
And good luck with your business, new house, and whatever else you got going on there.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No problem. And everybody listening, thanks for listening to Podnuts Daily for this week, and we'll see you next time. Music brought to you by Evan King at purevolume.com/Evan King.